This morning, that passage is about a warning. And I heard a really interesting story about a warning this week. Back in 1982, when the British were having this war against Argentina about... Argentina? Yeah. How do you say that?
Argentina.
They had this short war over the Falkland Islands. And during that conflict, an Argentinian fighter jet launched a French-made missile at a British warship. And the warship's radar computer system detected and identified the missile as being a French missile, and therefore declared it a friendly missile, and did nothing. The ship was hit by the missile and it sank. So destruction was coming, but it looked friendly, so the warning was ignored and the ship was destroyed. This morning, Jesus gives us a warning of friendly looking danger, and we need to listen or run the risk of being destroyed. So let's pray before we look into this passage. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes and get our minds to take this seriously. Take your warning seriously. Lord, connect the dots for us this morning and change our thinking to line up with your word. Lord, we desperately need your help in keeping us on your narrow path. Come, Lord Jesus, we ask, and have your way with our hearts and our minds for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. So watch out, be on your guard, be ready, expect false prophets, expect them to come. Jesus is warning us of a danger that is here, that we must take seriously, and that we must be ready for. And it's the same type of warning that Paul gave to the elders of a church back in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 to 31. He said, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after me. Therefore, be alert. Be alert. This isn't a game. This isn't a warning you should shrug off your shoulders. Just shrug your shoulders and say, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Watch out for false prophets. Well, what are false prophets? Well, prophets are people who spoke for God and communicated God's message. And false prophets in the Bible usually fell into three categories. The first one was those who worshiped idols and false gods. So what they said came from the devil, not from God. The second one is those who claimed to receive messages from God, but didn't. And the third one was those who once worshiped the Lord but wandered and started speaking their own thing. So false prophets claim to speak for God or some other God, but never speak for the only sovereign God of the Bible. They deceive people, they claim to speak God's truth, yet they speak for the devil. In the Old Testament, false prophets led God's people into this false sense of security. In Jeremiah chapters 6 and 8 and 23, they told God's people that everything will turn out fine for them. But none of God's people were obedient to the Lord. And none of the prophets were speaking God's holy word of warning. All the false prophets did were present God as loving and merciful and excluded all of his judgment against sin. Those false prophets presented God as not as the holy sovereign Lord, but as some nice guy. So don't worry, he's a nice guy, you'll be fine. And in Jeremiah 23, verse 16 to 17, God says, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, 'It shall be well with you.' And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, 'No disaster shall come upon you.'" So those who despised God's word, who followed their own hearts, who received this message of no worries, you're good with the Lord, they're deceived by false prophets, led down the wrong way, led away from the Lord. These people, God's people, were not good with the Lord. Yet the prophet who is to speak for the Lord says they're fine. In Jeremiah 8, verse 11, God says about these false prophets, "They have healed the wound of my people lightly." Basically, just appeasing them at a surface level. "They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." God's people had been rejecting the Lord, and then these prophets say, "Hey, no problem. You'll be okay. God is merciful and loving. You'll be fine." And not a single word about their sin and rejection of God, or of his holy judgment, or how to escape his holy judgment. That is the worst deception there is. Worse than telling someone who has a curable and deadly virus that they are healthy and that they are fine. This is worse, worse than that. As we saw in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, Jesus clearly points out that there are two ways: God's way through Jesus and the false teaching way. The wide gate and the narrow gate. The wide, easy road leading to hell, and the narrow, hard road leading to eternal life with God. They do not go together. They are not the same value. One is God's truth, the other lies. False prophets promote the lies. They do not measure up with God's truth. They distort his word. They blur salvation. They omit sin and judgment and focus on love and mercy, which can't even be done if God's wrath and judgment is excluded. We understand love and mercy when we look at God's wrath and holiness and hatred for sin. They go together. You can't understand one without understanding the other. They make salvation cost nothing. When Jesus says it costs us everything, it costs us our very lives, laying it down. They downplay the narrow road, instead saying, "Hey, all roads, whatever you choose, leads to God." False teachers have plagued church history, and God has risen up excellent men and women to combat this false teaching over and over again. In Scripture, the Pharisees and Sadducees were considered false prophets. They were called the blind leading the blind. And Jesus said that false teachers would be on the increase the closer we get to his return, which means that false prophets are not a thing of the past, but are on the increase today. There's an increase of false prophets in our world today because we are closer to the second coming of Christ. And these false prophets, they look good. They look right. They look like a worshiper of God. They say a lot of the right things. They do a lot of the right things. And that's what makes them so dangerous. They are wolves in sheep's clothing and twist the truth slightly over and over again, which changes God's word. They are so nice, but they leave people sitting in their sin and rejection of God and in their self-worship. And sadly, because they look and sound good and are so nice, and because Christians often are more committed to being nice than being biblical, these false prophets are invited into our lives along with their message. They are ravenous wolves, extremely dangerous, deceptive, sneaky, disguised as teaching right biblical stuff. But they are enemies of God, passing themselves off as believers, invited into the church by the church and spreading their false gospels. They are like the devil who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 to 15, Paul says, false prophets disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. And then he says, and no wonder they do this, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So this is not a case of, don't be so paranoid, Edgar. Why can't you just get along with other preachers and authors? Why are you so critical? This is super serious stuff for the church of God. False prophets are leading people to hell while claiming they speak God's word. And we, the church, are warned about them, told that they are here, and we are to discern who those false prophets are. We are to expose those wolves dressed like sheep to make sure that we don't fall for them and that each other doesn't fall for them. It's like a spy game where there is an enemy spy living with us as one of us. So how do we expose them? How do we recognize them if they're so clever and so smart and they blend in? That's verse 16, verse 16 to 20. You will recognize them by their fruit. You don't get grapes from a thorn bush. You don't get figs from a thistle bush. Grapes come from grapevines, figs from a fig tree. When I was a teenager, I worked for a vegetable gardener, and the zucchini plant and the cucumber plant, they looked the same to me. But I quickly discovered you can't get a zucchini from a cucumber plant, right? That's what Jesus is getting at here. And a sick tree cannot produce good fruit, just like a healthy tree can't produce bad fruit. Jesus is, he's getting his disciples and he's getting us to think. You know, we get the tree example and the fruit example. That makes sense to us. Well, the same thing with people. If at the core of who you are, if you are all about yourself, if you've never surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ, you are spiritually rotten and dead because of sin, and you will speak words and live in a way that is not godly. If you have repented and put your faith and trust in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are a new person, a worshiper of God, and you will speak God's words and live in a godly way. Grapevines produce grapes, good trees produce good fruit, a sinful heart produces a sinful life, a God-worshipping heart produces a God-worshipping life. We live out who we are. But it's so important to remember that, like a tree or a bush, it takes time to see what's growing. And with people, it's the same way. It often takes time to see what's coming out of them. A person can pretend for a while to be a godly person, a worshiper of God, but eventually what one is comes out. It's revealed. False prophets can look good for a while, but their bad fruit will be seen eventually. And the Lord, He has not left us on our own, helpless in trying to discern true and false people of God. We have an objective standard with which to compare them to, and it's the Bible. Over time, we can recognize false prophets by their fruit as we compare to Scripture. And their fruit, it's not silly fruit stuff like a big church or big book sales. The fruit to watch for are character and conduct and their teaching. The first one, character and conduct. Watch the person's character being expressed in how they live. The Bible lays out what a worshiper of Jesus is, how they will live. Is the person in question obedient to Scripture? Are they Christ-like? Are they growing and becoming more like Christ? This is a huge test, a very, very big deal, because when a worshiper of God is saved by Jesus Christ, their sin is taken care of right then and there. They are justified. They are made right with God and declared forgiven by the Holy God, right there at repentance and faith in Jesus. And then immediately following that, the Holy Spirit begins changing the justified person into being more like Jesus. This is called sanctification. It's a process. Justification at the time is a one-time action. Sanctification is a process over a lifetime. So a saved person will become more like Jesus. A justified person is being sanctified. So if there is no growing more Christ-like, no growth in being more loving and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled, if there is none of that, the more suspicious we should be that the person is a fake. But again, this takes time to notice, because sanctification takes time. For example, if I'm driving down the highway and someone cuts me off, almost causing an accident, and I'm mad, and I put my hand out the window and give that gesture, if you saw me do that, it would be unfair for you to conclude I am a false prophet because you saw me do that. You know what I'm getting at? It's not good that I did that gesture, but that act alone doesn't make me a false teacher. If over the years you see this hateful, impatient, mean, uncontrollable action take place with no change, plus other sinful behavior in my life, if this is seen over time, then you are right to be suspicious of me. Does that make sense? This is not reducing things to good and bad behavior. This is about worshiping the Lord with our lives and our love and worship of the Lord spilling out and being seen. It's just like if you love your spouse, we'll be able to see it. If you love school, your teachers will be able to see it. If you love your friends, people will be able to see that. Whatever you love will be evident by how you live. How you behave, what you say, points to your Lord. So watch the character and conduct of people to find out if they are false teachers. And along with examining the fruit coming from character and conduct is teaching. What are they teaching? Now, this is both from the pulpit, but also in one-on-one conversations. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, "The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." A person's heart is revealed by their words. A tree is known by its fruit, its words. John warned the church in 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 4 that they were being attacked by false teachers. And to recognize them, they needed to examine the teacher's words and see if they line up with the apostles' teaching. See if what is being passed off as God's truth actually lines up with God's word, the objective standard, the Bible. That's what they were to do. Teaching must line up with the scriptures. This is why worshipers of God must be students of God's word. How in the world is one line a day from the Bible going to help you recognize expert, sneaky, deceitful, ravenous wolves who are dressed like sheep? Know God's word, study God's word, get to know the Lord and his truth. Get to know the overarching picture, the story of what scripture is. One God, creator of all, sinful people, salvation through Jesus Christ, God the Son only, his life, death, and resurrection. People under the lordship of Jesus Christ, eternity enjoying the Lord in heaven. If anyone veers from the fundamental, historical, biblical Christian message, stay away from them. This is bigger than things like, what will it be like when Jesus returns, his second coming? Or what do you think about speaking in tongues? This is way bigger than that. Some things like that are not signs of a false prophet. But the biblical, historical, Christian message, how does their teaching line up with that? To be able to discern, we've got to know God's message. So church, know God's message. Know his word. Get into his word daily with joy, getting to know him. So to detect false prophets, compare their character and conduct plus their teaching with the word of God. So trying to apply all of this, I'm going to give it a shot here. Rob Bell, a very popular author who was also a pastor at one time, wrote a book called Love Wins. The main idea of the book is God will save everybody in the end. It's universalism. In the end, no one goes to hell because God's love wins. All right? So I don't live close to Rob Bell, so I can't observe his life. But I can hear his 200-page message, which is in print. And being familiar with God's word, I know Jesus' teaching on the narrow gate and the wide gate, his teaching on heaven and his teaching on hell, and being saved from the punishment our sin deserves. Well, Bell's fruit, his words, his teaching, doesn't fit Scripture. Actually, it goes against what the Bible teaches. This means it's false teaching. He's a false teacher. And we must stay away from Rob Bell. One more. Recently, I heard of a guy named Steve Furtick, a popular pastor in North Carolina. I did a 5-minute search on his church website, his blog, and on news sites. And it didn't take me long to find out what's going on. He believes T.D. Jakes is one of the best preachers around. And if you look at the message of T.D. Jakes, you find that he is a prosperity theology promoter. His foundation is God wants me to be healthy all the time. He wants me to be wealthy all the time. And he wants me to be successful. And his definition of success is exactly what the world says, what the world holds up as success. T.D. Jakes, his message is false. It's false teaching. So this is a guy that this Furtick promotes, thinks is a great preacher. And you can be assured that T.D. Jakes' preaching is, his message is mixed in with this guy's message. So that's one thing. Plus, and there's another thing. For some reason, Furtick won't disclose, this is public knowledge, he won't disclose how much money he's making off the ministries of the church. He's keeping that secret. Somehow he can do that. So looking at the fruit of his teaching, which lines up with T.D. Jakes, and looking at a financial secretive life, I'd say we need to stay away from Steve Furtick. Stay away from him. He is suspicious. Don't follow his teaching. If it's some teacher far off from here, like these three men, you look at their teaching, what they promote, you do your best to find out how they live, and you see if they are from God or not. If they are right here in our midst, this is so much easier to do. And we have to do this because we have to be careful what teachers we are listening to. There are nice looking and sounding teachers pushing bad stuff under the banner of biblical teaching. If you don't know God's word and submit to his word, you'll fall for their false teaching. You might currently be embracing false teaching. And this is not just about false teachers out in other churches or authors far from here or preachers that are out there. It's right here in our midst as well. I've heard some of our people say that as sinners, before Jesus Christ saved us, we had this goodness in us which the Holy Spirit just fanned into flame, which means we were not that bad, not that sinful, but had some holiness already in us before salvation, which means we deserve salvation or played a part in working for our salvation. Now that totally goes against what Scripture says. Scripture says, before we were saved, we were enemies of God, dead in our sin, fallen short of the glory of God, and salvation is a complete gift from God. So we need to watch out for false teachings happening everywhere. We can't relax. I have a real concern that we are way too chill about this. We go to the local Christian bookstore and we look at that new rack and all those beautiful covers of the books and we go, oh, that looks like a nice cover. That's a nice title to a book. I'm going to take that home. Your best life now. I want my best life now. That's Joel Osteen. That guy will lead you down the wide path of your best life now, which will end in hell. We can't relax. I'm not being overdramatic. I'm not. We must always be on guard, biblically listening and thinking, not impressed by outward appearance or accomplishments or titles. There's a lot of doctors out there that are leading a lot of people to hell. We need to be listening and watching with biblical eyes and ears so that we can spot and respond to false teachers. And if we are regularly in the Bible, we will be able to respond like Jesus responded to the devil when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He responded with Scripture, with God's truth. That's what we need to do, and that's what we can do. We can. Beware of false prophets. Get yourself ready. The time is now. The time is now. And before we start spewing out hatred towards some of the false teachers that I mentioned, let's remember Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The false prophets are victims in the sense that the devil has deceived them and is influencing them. And we, hopefully, want salvation for the false teacher. Hopefully we do. And one more thing. There's always one more thing. When we hear warnings on TV, they often stir up fear. You know, things like, if that guy becomes the next president of the United States, look out! Or, the next big earthquake is coming, or the next virus will be hard to stop. These type of things, what do? They stir up fear. They stir up a lot of fear. Jesus' warning here is not to stir up fear. Jesus doesn't stir up fear. All authority is under his feet, and we are found in him. So don't be scared of false prophets. Don't be scared of them. Don't be paranoid that they're coming to get you. They are coming to get you. But you're in Christ. And Christ has all authority over everything. Be ready by enjoying getting to know God through the Bible. Build up your faith in Christ with the truth of who you are in Christ, with the truth of who Jesus is in God's revealed word. Build yourself up. So church, let's be champions for God's revealed truth, the Bible. Let's travel down the hard and narrow road with Jesus and take his warning seriously and watch out for false teachers who pervert and wreck God's church. Let's study and know Scripture, bringing our Bibles to church. Now just an aside here, men, bring your Bibles to church. You are the spiritual leaders in your home. You are the spiritual leaders in your home. That's not a popular thing to say today, but send me an email if you don't like it. But you are the spiritual leaders in your church. Bring your Bibles to church. But, you know, having your phone, someone will say, no, I got my phone, I got my Bible on my phone. Well, you can't write yourself a little note there that, oh, go to this passage. You can't do it. But if you got your Bible, you got, oh, that passage, this also says it over there. I'm making a note for myself so that the next time I come here, I know I can jump back to that other passage and make these connections. As spiritual leaders in your home, take it seriously. Get in the Word of God every day. Bring your Bible to the church, to church service, so you can look at what it says for yourself. This isn't you're going to get brownie points if Edgar sees you with your Bible. Forget that stuff. Bring your Bible so that you can learn and jot down and remember things so that you can refer to it again a little later. So bring your Bibles to church. Men, but all of us, bring your Bibles to church. Let's be training ourselves, let's be renewing our minds with God's word so that we are thinking biblically and not coasting through life, so that we are the most difficult people for the devil to trick, because we are standing on God's word, because we know God's truth. Amen? Let's be that. Let's be those people. We're going to move into communion right away, but let me pray first. Father, we want to be those people. And often I am so lazy, I don't pick up your word. I'd rather read the newspaper or surf the web or watch a TV show or do nothing rather than pick up your word and read your word. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for treating our relationship like that. And Lord, would you fire up my hunger to know you better. Fire up my hunger for your truth. Open my eyes that I actually see what reality is This world is presenting lies and false stuff to me all the time, to us. And your word clarifies all of that. Please, Father, I ask that for myself and for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that we would be craving your word like we crave food when we haven't had it all day. We would crave your word, Lord. We would not be satisfied with just half a verse a day or something like that, and then a nice story going along with it. We would not be satisfied with that, Lord. We would want more and more of your word. Open our eyes to your truth, Lord. Draw us into your word so that we live according to your word, so that we worship you according to your revealed truth. May this church family stand boldly on your word, that we know your word, that we know how to respond to the devil's attacks with your word. Lord, bless us in that way, and in that way, glorify yourself through us. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.